Very much. Turn with me to Matthew 28, page 1006, and let's read that passage that Phil just really wove into our prayer for us. And you could tell it's so moving to those that know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just, we're going to read verses 1 to 10, page 1006, Matthew 28. So Jesus has been buried, and they've placed a guard on the tomb. To make sure that nobody comes along and steals his body. Then we come to verse 1, Matthew 28. Now, after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, so this is the Sunday we're talking about, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." In June 1815, just over 200 years ago, all England waited to hear whether the Duke of Wellington's army had defeated Napoleon and his army. The battle was fought at a place called Waterloo in Belgium. A lookout on the coast of England caught a message from a boat in the channel just before the fog rolled in. And the message was devastating. Wellington defeated. And the fog came down. Later that day, a messenger arrived in London and conveyed what the message would have said had it been completed. Wellington defeated the enemy. The Easter story reads like that message, doesn't it? Jesus defeated, Good Friday, dead and buried. Then Sunday morning comes, empty tomb, and the angel appears, and the message is completed. He is not here, for he has risen. Come, see the place where they laid him. Jesus defeated the enemy. Numbing grief that those women were experiencing. They were just, you'll see there in the passage in verse 61 and 27, they just sat there watching Joseph prepare Jesus' body for burial. They're just numb with grief. Their Savior died. And then, verse 8 of the chapter we've just read, great joy. I mean, trembling with it. I mean, it's pretty strange, isn't it, that someone raises from the dead. But what joy. Jesus' death and resurrection bears witness to the fact that Jesus has defeated our three greatest enemies. I'm just going to quickly outline those for you. Firstly, we've seen in the previous little talk that his death made a way for sins to be forgiven. Hallelujah. Sins dealt with. The torn curtain told us that. There's a way back to God through Jesus. Sin is defeated. Secondly, his bodily resurrection. Jesus raised bodily from the dead. Okay, there was no body in the tomb. Just clothes. Okay? So it was a physical, bodily resurrection. And that shows that death itself has been defeated, undone. The appearance of Jesus himself to the women, verse 9. Greetings, he says. I mean, how understated is that? Greetings, I'm back. I'm from the dead. And then he later appeared to his disciples, verse 17. Luke will probably refer to that as we go to the passage. And then the passage at the beginning that we read at the very beginning, we saw that Jesus appeared to over 500 at one time. Many, many people saw Jesus having risen from the dead. And as Phil prayed in his prayer, if we belong to Jesus, even though we die, yet shall we also be raised bodily from the dead. We shall live eternally. We shall be raised in Jesus. Thirdly, Jesus' bodily and physical resurrection also demonstrates that the powers of evil under the control of Satan have been utterly defeated. The empty tomb, did you notice? It had been guarded by Jesus' enemies. And that's testimony to the reality that the enemies are defeated. They couldn't keep Jesus in the tomb. Satan in all his power, man with all his wickedness, and all of those minions that Satan has under his rule, could do nothing to keep Jesus dead and buried. Just couldn't do it. And that tells us that as we come to faith in Jesus, we're not only forgiven of our sins and restored to God, the Father, we're not only assured of eternal life after death, but we're set free from Satan's tyranny, his control, in order to enjoy serving Jesus now and forever in the world to come. Three great enemies defeated by Jesus, evidenced by the resurrection and his death on the cross. Now, no one seriously doubts the historic reality of Jesus of Nazareth these days. Okay? They realize he was a historic person. In my day when I was at school, people used to doubt it. But historians now accept it as fact. No one actually doubts the historic reality of his death on the cross. That's also a given fact of history. But people do doubt the possibility of the resurrection. That's where we come to the crunch with Christianity nowadays. So if you're going to get to grips with Christianity, if you're here because someone's invited you and you're thinking, actually, I wouldn't mind knowing a bit more about Christianity. I wouldn't mind understanding about Jesus and his life and what it means for me. If you're thinking about whether I need to repent or whether you need to place your faith in Jesus, it's most likely that the resurrection, this passage in the Bible, is going to be a stumbling block to you. Now, I'm not going to try to persuade you in 2 minutes today, one very short message, that the resurrection is a historic reality. What I want to do instead is to invite you to do what the angel encouraged the women to do in this passage. Did you notice what the angel told the women to do? Come see the place where he lay. Look for yourself at the evidence. What the angel told the women to do, because they were going to find it hard to believe themselves, and they were there. Come and see the place where he lay, verse 6. So the women were invited into the tomb, and you today are invited to research the accounts of what they and more than 500 other people saw, because the Gospels are eyewitness accounts of what happened that day. It's recorded in Matthew's Gospel, for example. So you can either choose to sit outside the Gospels and dismiss the resurrection of Jesus, or you can get inside them by reading them with us and consider, come and see. See where he lay. Do your research, so to speak. Investigate rather than dismiss. That's my encouragement to you. Look further. Do that with us in a Gospel. I want to give you just two things as a taster to encourage you to come and see for yourself by reading the Bible, John's Gospel or Matthew's Gospel. Firstly, consider the fact that Jesus repeatedly made it known before he died that he was going to rise from the dead. I mean, what kind of person does that?
goes around saying, okay, he's alive, look, I'm going to be killed. And on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead, folks. And that's really building jeopardy into your mission, isn't it? Now, that's why the chief priests and the Pharisees asked Pilate, in verse 27, chapter 27 at the end, to give them a guard to place on Jesus' tomb. They knew what Jesus himself had said when he was alive. And they wanted to make sure that no one could come along, roll that heavy stone away, steal the body, and claim that Jesus had risen from the dead. So they put a guard on the tomb. Now, it's ironic, isn't it, that Jesus' enemies, in placing a guard on the tomb, rule out for us the possibility of the body being stolen. They themselves ruled out that possibility because they put the guard there. And then they try to spin it with a lie, of course. They bribed the guards to say they fell asleep. Any self-respecting soldier that falls asleep on duty would never accept to do that. They tried to spin it, but everyone in Jerusalem, from Pilate down to the least of the least, knew that there'd been a guard on that tomb that day and those days. Secondly, so consider that, firstly. And then secondly, consider also the fact that the 11 disciples, they're mentioned in verse 16, of verse 16, did exactly what Jesus told them to do. He told them to go, and Luke's going to talk to us about this, into all the world and talk about Jesus, make disciples. Tell them that Jesus rose from the dead and he's coming back one day as King of Kings, soon coming King, as Phil prayed. Now, they went all over the world, those 11 men, different parts of the world, and 10 out of the 11 died because they kept telling people about Jesus being raised from the dead. Now, if they were just covering up a lie, and they knew really that actually they'd nicked Jesus' body and kind of buried it somewhere secretly, and they were perpetuating a myth, would 10 men on 10 different occasions in 10 different places on the planet all be willing to subject themselves to a painful and pointless death? Think about it. Come and see. Investigate the evidence. Join a small group with us and read a gospel. Do your research before you dismiss the resurrection of Jesus Christ.